Conversations. This is Jason.
And this is Phil. And today we are moving forward in the book of Mark. We are in chapter 2, starting in verse 23. We'll be talking a little bit about the Sabbath.
Yeah. So far in Mark, we've got Jesus healing this man with leprosy. He's called some disciples. He healed a paralyzed man. He's called Levi Matthew as his disciple. And then there was this discussion about fasting.
Yeah. Right?
So why don't we just read these few verses, verses 23 to 28.
Okay. One Sabbath day, as Jesus was walking through some grain fields, his disciples began breaking off heads of grain to eat. But the Pharisees said to Jesus, "Look, why are you breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath?" Jesus said to them, "Haven't you read in the scriptures what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He went into the house of God during the days when Abiathar was high priest, and broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only the priests were allowed to eat. He also gave some to his companions." Then Jesus said to him, "The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people, not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath."
I feel like this one kind of breaks my thinking a little bit. Like, just to be clear, Jesus is God, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, and God is the same yesterday, today, and forever?
Okay.
Okay. So then we go back to the Old Testament, and I've been reading through the book of Leviticus recently, and there's so many places where it's like I'm not talking about the Sabbath. I'm talking about eating the bread of the sanctuary, the bread of the presence.
Right.
David goes in, the priest gives it to David, and Jesus uses this as an example of like an exception, like that the David's hunger is more important than the rules of the sanctuary or something. Mm-hmm. Maybe we could explore that, exactly what he means by that. But if you go back into Leviticus, you find that if anybody came that wasn't worthy to approach the sanctuary, they were supposed to be like ejected from the camp. Like they couldn't be part of Israel anymore. If anybody ate the food that was intended for the priest, the sacred offerings, or the bread of the presence, or even just the offerings that were given, like the wheat, the grain offerings and that kind of stuff, right? That was supposed to be eaten by the priests, not the Levites. The priests were the only ones that could eat it.
Right.
There was a couple exceptions and some interesting things that you can read, and it's a little bit confusing as you're going through and trying to like decipher exactly which sacrifice is supposed to be eaten and which one was eaten by who and all that kind of stuff, because there were some things that were allowed to be given to the Levites. So deciphering that is interesting. But anyway, point is, if you weren't allowed, if you weren't one of Aaron's sons or, you know, one of the priests, and you ate that stuff, you were supposed to be killed.
Okay.
So what in the world is going on here? It kind of breaks my thinking a bit.
Well, here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that okay, when God brought the children out of Egypt, They had forgotten all about him. They didn't understand, what he was about, and so I think the sacrifice system was trying to teach them that there's going to be a sacrifice made. And as you walk through the temple, there is that progression of people coming and Jesus being our sacrifice. Fast forward to this time period, And the leaders have taken all of these, they seemed like they were complicated rules when they were written back in Leviticus, but they were less complicated than the leaders had made them now.
Yeah. So, you know, there's limited like details, and then the leaders add a massive details on top of that. Like, here's how I want you to do it. And then they're like, okay, and this is how we do this little thing that he said he wanted us to do.
And so I think Jesus is bringing them back to try to make them understand that, listen, you have made the Sabbath a burden for people. So
some people would say that Jesus is basically doing away with all of these things. Like before Jesus, we had to do all these sacrifices in order to be saved. You had to do the sacrifice, right? And then Jesus comes along and Jesus he upends all of that. Okay. He replaces the sacrifices so now in order to be saved, we rely on faith in the grace of God.
Yeah.
And that's the only way that we're saved today. So if that's the case, then like basically Jesus is saying the Sabbath is not really that big of a deal. Like it was important for the Old Testament people, but the New Testament people it doesn't matter for anymore. And I can see where they're coming from, because it seems like Jesus is kind of saying all those rules that God put in place weren't really that big of a deal. But maybe just let's explore it for a moment. Think about the idea of what was going on when somebody was eating the bread of the presence. Or maybe it would be easier to comprehend if you go backwards to the sacrifice. Some of the sacrifices were supposed to be eaten by the priests. Right. Why would they eat the sacrifice?
You've got me on that one. I'm still trying to wrap my head around the whole sacrificial system.
Okay. I mean, all right.
It's always been a tough one.
Let's break it up into little pieces. Okay. First of all, what does the sacrifice represent?
The sacrifice represents Jesus dying for our sins.
Every sacrifice was in some way fulfilled by Christ.
Yes.
So Jesus was the wave sheaf. He was the grain offering. He was the sin offering. He was the Passover lamb, right? Jesus was all of these things. So every one of those, if it's a sacrifice brought to God, it is fulfilled in Jesus.
Right.
What does the priest represent?
Good question. I don't know.
Well, Hebrews tells us, Hebrews 9, I think. 8, 9, 10, that range. It says that Jesus is our high priest.
Okay, so therefore another representation of Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's really a safe thing to say, if you find it in the sanctuary, it probably represents Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He says, Jesus is the Lamb of God. He says, I am the door. Even the veil through which we would go into God's people would go into the temple or the tabernacle, that represented Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus is the one who prays for us at the altar of incense. He is the light of the world. He is like everything. Everything in the sanctuary is connected to Jesus and the plan of salvation in some way.
Right.
So the priest, Jesus. Okay, so if the priest represents Jesus and this sacrifice represents Jesus taking on our sin, then in a way that sin-laden sacrifice being consumed by the priest, is the priest saying, I'm owning this sin, right?
Okay, yeah, got it.
So Jesus became sin, you are what you eat?
Right.
Jesus became sin for us so that we could be the righteousness of God in him.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right, so if you're not the priest and you eat the sacrifice,
then you're taking on that sin.
It's as though we're saying that we can save ourselves. Right. And God is like, absolutely not. That can never enter your thinking. And so he puts this really strong restriction on it. And yet the time comes, David comes around to the priest, he's hungry. He's fleeing for his life. He even lies about the situation, about what he's doing. Mm-hmm. He doesn't tell the priest the truth about him fleeing from Saul. He's like, I'm on a special mission. You know, I'm a secret agent. And so he gives him Goliath's sword as a weapon. And he gives him some food from the sanctuary, some of the bread from the sanctuary. And this is sacred stuff. And yet, it's like Jesus is saying David is sacred stuff too, right? Mm. And yeah, so is the Sabbath sacred?
Well, definitely.
Is God holy and just and true? Yeah. Is his law holy and just and true?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So the Sabbath isn't something that we should trifle with. And in fact, in the Old Testament, there were situations where God was like, you break the Sabbath, you get stoned to death.
Right.
Right. So again, death penalty, it's big deal stuff. And yet Jesus, I think is making the point that God never intended the Sabbath to be a burden for humans. What he intended is for us to respect it as the gift and blessing that it is.
Mm-hmm.
And what the Pharisees did is they made it a fearful thing, right? To take one more step than is allowed on Sabbath and you've broken the law, right? And are what, worthy of death now? And Jesus is like, hold on.
And because of those rules, people found workarounds.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
To those rules.
Well, that's legalism. Legalism is trying to figure out the least that you need to do. And we always increase the rules,
right?
So that, you know, we don't do too little of the least, but we're getting away with as little as possible. Right. That's what legalism is. Mm-hmm. And that's not a loving relationship, and that's not what God intended it to be. So I kind of get this idea that what Jesus is saying isn't that the Old Testament stuff wasn't significant, or that the sacredness or holiness of the sacrificial system or the Sabbath is insignificant, but that our focus was wrong, that God didn't give it to us as a burden. He did not require humans to keep the Sabbath because the Sabbath is wonderful and humans should serve the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
He gave the Sabbath as a gift for our benefit.
Right. Well, the interesting thing here is that the Jews themselves, I mean, there's other places where it said, you know, you won't do this on the Sabbath, but if your ox falls into a ditch, you'll sure, you know, work, which is breaking all their rules.
But what's more important, keeping the Sabbath, quote unquote, or the life of the animal?
Well, the life of the animal is pretty important.
Mm-hmm.
We used to live by a guy that he would not work on Sunday unless he could make a dollar bill. And my dad would sometimes go over there and, can you help me with this? Oh, no, it's Sunday. But the next Sunday you'd see him with a car in his yard and he'd be working on it. And yeah, a friend of mine, he's going to pay me $100 for this. So, you know, I'm going to make some money.
Fine for him if it was money making.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And that is, I think that's the way the Pharisees were, you know, as long as it doesn't inconvenience us, it's fine.
Greedy weasels.
But if it affects me.
If it affects my money, my pocketbook.
If it affects my money, then we're going to tweak the rules just a little bit. Huh. And it's clear how hypocritical they were.
But Jesus seems to change the focus completely. Like, the animals are important.
Right.
Right? So you're not going to not feed your animal on Sabbath,
mm-hmm,
because that's work. Because the animal needs to be fed and it's essential, right? The same thing, you've got somebody in the hospital, you're not going to say, oh, see you later, hope you survive, I'll come back in 24 hours. No, you care for the person. So like there's a sense of necessary work, that Sabbath is important, but humans are the real thing that's important to God. And the Sabbath was a gift for our blessing. If we don't keep the Sabbath, it's going to hurt society. It's going to hurt us individually.
And I've had this discussion, you know, growing up, going to school, and you know, you go to the to the fourth commandment. You know, you don't work, your servants don't work, anybody that's on your around you doesn't work. And I've known people that say, well, if you turn on a light on the Sabbath, you are causing someone else to work because someone has to make that electricity.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they've taken it this far. And I don't think that's what Jesus intended.
But I think we can be dismissive of it and say it doesn't matter. They were going to be at the restaurant anyway. Might as well go and get a meal at the restaurant. It's less work for us. Mm-hmm. You know, we can be dismissive of that in, I think, inappropriate ways. But we can also like be too legalistic about it. Like,
yeah.
Like, let me find all the ways that I might make somebody work. And I'm going to make sure that I don't do that.
Yeah.
And I think that the point of the law was a social good. We often think of the law as split into two halves. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. And where would the fourth commandment be?
It was being the love your love God.
The interesting thing about the fourth commandment is that it is the thing that binds the two sides mm-hmm. of the law together. God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. For in 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord hallowed the Sabbath day, blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Anyway, whatever. I'm trying to remember it, right? And then he says, 6 days you should labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, right? So this is the don't work part of it. You or your son or your daughter, your manservant or your maidservant, or even your cattle, and even the stranger that's within your gates. Mm-hmm. So immediately we've got this connection. Like, first of all, because God created us, we should rest. That's a faith thing. Like, God saved us, God made us, we rest in his creative act. But then there's the social part. In Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13, we find, stop stepping on the Sabbath. Like, that's the mm-hmm. the verse there. But if you go back to the beginning of the chapter in Isaiah 58, it says that like we should cry aloud and spare not and tell my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. What's their sin? They're doing religious things while making people work. What are they doing? They're going out and they're putting on sackcloth and they're praying and they're doing these religious things. And when do you do that? I mean, you could do it any day of the week, but specifically you do it on Sabbath, right?
No.
So they're keeping a Sabbath, but then they're forcing their workers to continue working. Like, yeah. Like if you've got a store or a mine or a landscaping company, right? You know, wouldn't it be nice if you took a break? Like, I'm just going to take a Sabbath, but I want the economic engine to keep running.
Right.
And so you make your workers keep working. And God had a big problem with that because the Sabbath was intended to be a social leveling tool. It causes me to rest in God by faith, but it also causes me to allow others to take a break.
Right, right.
And that's a social justice issue. That you know, we look at the weekend as a modern invention, but God invents the weekend. Well, at least the
week, Sabbath,
the yeah. Sabbath day, yeah. And then he doesn't just say, not just you know your kids can't work, or even your servants can't work. But you can't force a foreigner to work, mm-hmm. which is a big deal because in the Jewish culture, the foreigners were treated like you couldn't enslave one of your own people. You had to give them a wage, you know, and there was this ownership thing. You can't own an Israelite.
Right.
But you could own a foreigner.
A foreigner, yes.
Now that the whole thing about slavery in the Bible is another discussion we can get to another time. Put that down on our to-do okay, list,
we'll,
right?
We'll do.
In the mind of the Israelite, our people, our brothers and sisters, are kind of different than the foreigner. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But God is saying, your foreigner is in the same class of value.
Yeah.
Right. So everybody matters. So the Sabbath command isn't about like don't work. The Sabbath command is a gift to society. it's a weekend.
Yeah. So how do we bring that to modern day?
Now in, you tr- in, now in you're stumping mind, me. Wait, what were you talking about?
In my mind, are there times it's okay to work? Personally, I think there are.
Okay.
And let me give you some examples. We got a call several months ago, I believe it was. There was somebody stranded out on the highway. They needed some help. I believe it was Sabbath. So Sabbath afternoon, Sandra and I went out there and tried to help them. Mm-hmm. If you want to get real legalistic about that, should we have done that? In my mind, I say yes. They're in need, and whether it's the Sabbath or not, I should help people in need. Hmm. And now, I've got a neighbor that needs a roof put on. Do I help him on the Sabbath? In my mind, no, because I can do that on Sunday. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's read the next few verses, because Jesus has this experience on Sabbath in the synagogue, and he has some teaching on this particular thing, and it kind of clarifies the difference between, that necessary good and the, let's just read it.
Okay.
You want to read it or should I?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Jesus went into the synagogue again and noticed a man with a deformed hand. Since it was the Sabbath, Jesus' enemies watched him closely. If he healed the man's hand, they planned to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with a deformed hand, "Come and stand in front of everyone." I'm going to make a spectacle of this. I know people that are watching. Verse 4, then he turned to his critics and asked, "Does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath, or is it a day for doing evil?" Is the Sabbath a day for doing evil? That's a great question. Is this a day to save life or to destroy it? Wow. But they wouldn't answer him. He looked around at them angrily and was deeply saddened by their hard hearts. Then he said to the man, "Hold out your hand." So the man held out his hand, and it was restored. At once the Pharisees went away and met with the supporters of Herod to plot how to kill Jesus. Well, now you can see what their heart was really like.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Jesus asked this really important question. Is this a day to give life or to take it, to heal or to destroy? Mm-hmm. Like, why does he make that contrast?
Well, I think it's because the Sabbath was intended to a day where we could connect with him, as a day this super special day, mm-hmm. that we could have this extra connection with him, you know, a time to rest, mm-hmm. a time to re-energize ourselves, but still a time to do good.
Yeah, and the value, again, is where Jesus is putting the value not on the day, but on the person.
On the person, yeah.
So is the Sabbath for God? Mm-mm. No. God doesn't rest on the seventh day of the week because he's tired of creating. He rests and makes this day holy as a gift to humanity. Mm-hmm. He knows that we need time with him. Does he need time with us? Yeah, but he's everywhere all at once, right? God is omnipresent. And so time with us is something he gets all the time. It's just that we need that space to stop and pay attention to him.
Yeah.
But we also need that for ourselves. Our physical bodies need the space. We need that for our relationships. Our families need the space. We need that for community. Our whole society needs the space to pause and not just drive through, every situation is a money-making kind of situation, right? You know, we need the pause.
And there have been scientific tests done on animals that, they work them 7 days a week, or they give them a day off, and they're more productive and healthier with a day off.
Yeah.
And I think the same goes for us. I mean, I'm a workaholic. If I was able to work on, 7 days a week, I'd probably be doing it.
But it wouldn't be good for you, would it?
It wouldn't be good for me.
It'd drain your brain. It'd mess your relationship with your wife up. Yeah. It'd be problematic for your spirituality. Yeah.
But boy, Friday night comes. That's, I look forward to that. It's time when I can just turn off the phone.
There's an interesting thing about buying and selling on Sabbath. We're talking about stuff that we can and shouldn't do on Sabbath. And mm-hmm. Jesus focuses doing good for people. So I remember taking a trip with my mom in a yellow Ford Ranger. And we were driving from Kentucky to Oklahoma, Oklahoma City. And on the way, it's like a 12-hour drive. And I forget exactly what happened, but we ended up, it took longer than we had expected, or mm-hmm. we needed to be there by a certain time, and so we're going to travel on Sabbath or something. I forget exactly the details, but I think it was Friday night, and we kind of ran out of gas. And so we pulled over, and Mom didn't want to buy gas on the Sabbath because we shouldn't buy and sell, right? And we'll get to where we get that in a moment. But so she pulls over, we sleep in the truck that night, and we happen to see a Seventh-day Adventist church in the, off the exit. And so we pulled into the parking lot, and people started showing up, and we went into the bathroom, got ourselves changed into something we could go to church in, went to church. Somebody invited us home. We were like, we don't have any gas in our car. And so they took us home with them. They fed us. We hung out there. And then when the sun was setting, they took us back to our car. We went to the gas station, filled up, and we kept going and got there sometime late Saturday night, I think, to Oklahoma City. And that's like the thing I grew up with is you don't buy and sell on Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was maybe 16 or something like that, 17 years old. And my pastor, he has three churches that he goes to every Sabbath. Crazy guy. If I was pastoring three churches, I wouldn't do this. but he would go to one church for like a first service. He'd go to the next church for the main service, like the 11 mm-hmm. o'clock service. And then he'd go to the third church at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon and do a service there. And he every week he would do that. And he'd take his family to at least one or two of these churches. His family would go with him.
Yeah.
And sometimes things just didn't work out. Pastors have busy lives, family, et cetera. There's all kinds of stuff happening. And so he'd run out of gas on Sabbath. And he always kept a couple gallons in the trunk, which is terrible, by the way. I've tried keeping a gas can in my car and it smells the thing up. So, but anyway, he'd keep a spare gas can, and he'd, in case he needed to fill his car up to keep traveling and go to his churches on Sabbath. Well, one day I'm with him, and he's like, this week I didn't get it done. Like, I didn't fill up my car, and my extra gas can is empty. And so it's on Sabbath, and I'm with him, and we're headed to this third church, and he stops at a gas station, and he swipes his card, and he puts in gas into his tank. And my mind was like, I don't know, alarm bells going off and, red light, like, this pastor is bad. He doesn't keep the Sabbath. Like, what do you think about that?
Well, it's interesting that he swiped his card, because I've heard a lot of people with the mentality, well, I'm really not paying for this today, because I will pay for it when the bill comes I won't be paying for it on Sabbath.
It's the transaction that's the yeah, issue, right?
I know.
Okay, I got one more story about this. So I'm at the General Conference in Atlanta, Georgia. And for those who don't know, the General Conference is a once every 5-year event where the Seventh-day Adventist Church officials gather. There's something like, 7,000 or 10,000 people that vote on all kinds of stuff, and they have big discussions. But they also have some fantastic speakers and some really great music. And so people can come and they can visit and participate in this big event. And something like 70,000 Seventh-day Adventists will descend on a city for this event, especially on the weekends. So imagine Atlanta with 70,000 people, not just 70,000 people, but 70,000 Seventh-day Adventists coming in. And like lots of them are vegetarian. So like all these restaurants have to figure out what to do with vegetarians, and not just a few of them, but lots of them. And so they're selling less alcohol. their restaurants are filled up with people that are asking for vegetarian recipes, and their meat is not being used. And anyway, so it's this whole thing. Well, the General Conference people that planned this and worked with the city on this had told them, like, we're not going to be buying stuff, or most of our members aren't going to be buying stuff on Sabbath. And so you could go to a Taco Bell or a Subway or, you know, any of these restaurants, McDonald's, and you could get a voucher on Friday and then come back on Sabbath and use the voucher to get your meal. And one guy asked me on Friday, he's like, why are people doing this? And I had to admit to him, it's hypocrisy, right?
Yeah, I've heard of this, and I've always thought, what's the difference?
There is no difference.
You know?
It is exactly what the Pharisees were doing with legalism. It's trying to get away with the, you know, like, I've got to keep this rule, but let me get away. Let me weasel my way around it. And, you know, like, honestly, if you're going to make the person work for you on Sabbath, why not pay him on Sabbath? Why add the extra work of the voucher system?
Yeah,
that's just cruel. So the way that we did it was we planned ahead, and we purchased some food that we would eat on Sabbath in our hotel room.
Right.
It's not that hard to plan ahead for something like that. But anyway, I'm thinking about this and struggling with like buying and selling on Sabbath. And you know where the buying and selling on Sabbath thing came from?
I don't.
Well, it was Nehemiah.
Okay.
So Nehemiah is trying to get Israel back towards like honoring the Sabbath in a post-Babylon experience where they've been in Babylon for 70 years and their mindset is different. And plus they had the years before that where they were in idolatry. And so Nehemiah is trying to shepherd them through, and Ezra before him, we're trying to shepherd the people through this spiritual revival where he's teaching them how to honor God. Well, one of the things that would happen is that the people from around the Jerusalem would come through, and as they were getting the walls built, before they got the walls built, it was just, you know, it was very porous. Everybody could come through and in and out, and there was no control. But once the walls were built, there was a gate. And the people would come through the gate and set up a market for Sabbath. And Nehemiah is like, no, this will not happen. And Nehemiah he's a strong personality. So he, you know, when he finds people are doing the wrong thing, he does things like beat them up and pull their hair out.
Like, gonna have to go back and reread Nehemiah.
Oh, it's quite the read. You should read it. So these foreigners are coming in, like non-Jews are coming into Jerusalem, and it's Friday night sundown or whatever, and they're wanting to get ready to set up. And Nehemiah has the people close the gates, and he's like, "Go away! Don't come back again on Sabbath." The next time they come, he's like, "You come again, and I'm gonna beat you up." Right? He's like really forceful about this. And he tells the people, no buying and selling, no setting up a market on Sabbath. Now, was that the right thing to do? Forgive Nehemiah's methods. He was being very bold and very strong and forceful in an environment where people were being stupid. They needed a strong man to step in between them and stupidity. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I'm not sure that we would, I'm pretty confident that we would say pulling people's hair out is not the right discipline.
I don't know. It works sometimes. So. But here again is a situation where the people, just like coming out of Egypt, they have been away from this so long. And now Nehemiah is just trying to get them right back to where they need to be.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
And I think what Jesus is trying to do is he's trying to, like it's a pendulum, right? Not keeping the Sabbath, and they swing over to like making the Sabbath everything. Mm-hmm. And what Jesus is doing is saying, no, you are everything. You are what I love. And I've given you this gift of time, not to be oppressive for you or for others, but to be a gift and a benefit. So why not go and help somebody who has an emergency need on the road on a Sabbath day? That's mm-hmm. not a bad thing to do. Jesus says, do good on the Sabbath. And if it's between helping somebody and harming them, then you better do the helpful thing.
Right.
Right? Is it harmful to not do this on the Sabbath? Then do it.
Yeah, these people would have, you know, I'm sure they would have survived. But mm-hmm. We took them water, and I wasn't able to help them much. There was some mechanical issues, and I didn't have the tools to get things fixed. But we were able to, you know, bring them water and give them some advice and things mm-hmm. like that, you know.
And if your wife gets a fever and has a medical need, and you need to go, you know, early Sabbath morning to Walmart to pick up something from mm-hmm. the pharmacy, then that's not evil, because the opposite of doing that thing on Sabbath would be harmful, right?
Right.
Do sure. the good thing, not the harmful thing. Mm-hmm. You know, is it something that has to happen on Sabbath? Would it, you know, would they be fine if you waited for another day or three? Well, then wait, right? Yeah. But if it would be harmful to not do this, like for instance, the pastor, he's on his way to the church. He is ministering with the gospel. It's not an insignificant thing for the pastor to be absent. And if he doesn't stop to get gas, and then he won't be at the church. So what should he do? Should he abandon the church for that worship service, or should he get gas?
Well, not only that, he'd be stuck out in the middle of nowhere with you in the car.
With me in the car. Yeah, definitely get gas. Yeah. So I think that what Jesus is giving us here is a toolkit for understanding, like, people are valuable. The Sabbath is a gift. Let's use it to help, not to hurt.
Right, right.
Yeah. We've kind of wandered through some interesting territory today, haven't we?
This is, yeah. We can continue wandering. there's some things, actually, I'll talk to you about after this. But
oh, now I'm curious. Now you got everybody else curious.
Yeah, I know. but it goes down a different rabbit hole.
Okay, all right. Well, we've gone through enough rabbit holes today, yeah. So thanks for the conversation.
Yeah.